brain and be able to preach. This is something I enjoy this part of my job. It's good to be able to look into Scripture, study Scripture, and share what the Lord has put on our hearts, on my heart, to share with you with regards to Scripture. A lot is going on with regards to ministry all over the world. But there are a lot of challenges as well. Just wanted to share this story with you. I was talking to some of the leadership in the Middle East with regards to some of the ministries going on. And believe it or not, the MENA, what is known as the Middle East, North Africa Union, had to withdraw their pastor recently. One of their pastors, actually the only pastor that they have in Yemen. And the reason was because they had to try to develop a language center or an influence center, what they call the influence center. And then what happened was the person who was sponsoring it, who was a local there, got upset with our pastor and told him, guess what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to report that you are a missionary and you are doing ministry here to Muslims, which means long term, his head is going to get chopped off. So basically, the church had to withdraw the pastor out of that region. So while we're trying to do ministry in so many parts of the world, there are a lot of challenges. And I'm so glad that we could come here at Chapel West and just worship so freely without any challenges, without any problems, without any worries. And unfortunately, so many people take this for granted. But hey, you know what? I'm not going to go to church today. But believe it or not, guys, there are thousands upon thousands of Christians out there who wish you could do what you guys do. Come without worry and worship. So it's something to pray about, something to think about. Before I begin, let's just bow our heads once more in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to ask that we be led by the Holy Spirit this morning. That Jesus Christ be seen and Jesus Christ be lifted. In his precious name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 19, and read with me verses 1, 2, and 3. This is the story of Zacchaeus, a story that many of us are familiar with. The story begins like this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Now Jesus was on his way to from Galilee to Jerusalem for the last time. In fact, if you look at just a few verses ahead of verse 10 and so on and so forth, verse 10 in Luke chapter 19, you will find that Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. On his way, just before what is known as the Passion Week, the last week of his earthly ministry, he passes through Jericho. Now Jericho is believed to have been a holiday destination for the rich living in Jerusalem during that period of time. It is a city that is located below sea level. And it was not too far away from the Jordan River, and it was not too far away from the Dead Sea. So it was had this warm and balmy atmosphere there. Just warm weather. It was known to be the destination of the priests and the Levites and those who wanted to have a good time. It was a resort destination. It was like the Cancun of the United States. And it is in this infamous city that Zacchaeus, the tax collector, lives. Let's continue on reading here, the passage, so that we get more familiar with this. Verse 4. So he ran ahead, and this is what Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. So he runs ahead and climbed a sycamore sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, if we read verses 1, 2, and 3, there are a couple of descriptions that these passages give us about Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was not just a simple tax collector. If you look at verse 2, he is a chief tax collector. So basically, if you want to look at his life, Zacchaeus was hated by both the Romans and the Jews. Now, I've got to give you a bit of a background as to what's happening here, or how the system worked. Now, that part of the region was occupied by the Romans. And the way the Roman system worked was, you had the Caesar all the way, the Roman Emperor all the way at the top in Rome. And of course, the Emperor had projects that he wanted to carry out in his own kingdom. And so what he did was, he divided the whole region that he was over into small provinces. And what he would do is he would say, you know what, we need a certain budget in order to carry out a certain project in Rome, or a project that I have in my mind. And so he would order and tell the tax collectors in these different provinces, hey, you know what, this year, this is how much tax we need. This is how much money I need in order to carry out my project. And so, in every province that there was a chief tax collector, and of course, under the chief tax collectors, various other tax collectors who would collect money. So they would collect the money, and they would put it in a special treasury, and then, of course, they would send all that money upwards, up the organization, to the emperor. And of course, the emperor took the money and carried out the project that he wanted to carry out in the empire that he had. And so here was Zacchaeus. He lived in a part of the region in Jericho, and in that, right, he was responsible for the whole province to collect taxes. Not just anything, just any tax. He was the chief tax collector. Now, you've got to keep in mind, the Jews hated to be occupied by the Romans. I mean, they detested it. And so, anybody who collaborated with the Romans was looked down upon. And so here is Zacchaeus, not only collaborating with the Romans in just a simple matter, but taking the money, the finances of the Jewish people and sending it and giving it to the Romans. So the Jews hated the tax collectors, and particularly in this case, they hated a person like Zacchaeus. Now, of course, if you look at it from a Roman perspective, the Romans didn't care about the Jews, and they knew what Zacchaeus was doing. They knew that they had installed here a person who only cared about money. He didn't care about the Romans. He didn't care about the Jews. All he cared about was the money. And so the Romans themselves looked down upon the tax collectors. And so here you have the Zacchaeus, hated by the Romans because he's a Jew and a traitor in a sense. And here is the Jews looking at Zacchaeus, who hate him as well because he was a traitor. Now if you look at verse 2 again, it describes to you who Zacchaeus was. It says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was what?
Rich.
He was rich. Now, you've got to keep in mind, as I've mentioned to you, Zacchaeus was in there for the money. I mean, who would want to be hated by the Romans? And who would want to be hated by the Jews? Basically, every single person in the society hated him. He was not liked. But Zacchaeus was in the business for the money. Now, if you look at his life, he lived a very posh life. In fact, if you look at it in today's terms, he had all the gadgets that a person needed. You know, today, if you're wealthy, you have all the gadgets. You've got the best car, and then the car has all of the best options that you need, from satellite to dish to you name it, you know, in those cars nowadays. You have the latest iPad. You have the latest phone. And here is Zacchaeus, who had the latest gadgets of his day. And probably that boiled down to servants. As far as the world goes, he had made it. He had it all. He was wealthy. But verse 3 continues on and gives a bit more of a description of Zacchaeus. He says he wanted to see Jesus, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So basically, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, we know now. He is really, really rich, well off. But as well, he was short. Now, he wasn't short only figuratively in the eyes of the Jews in the sense of position, but he was literally, physically short. Now, being short is rarely something that people usually aspire to be. In fact, if you look at the English language, it's got a bit of a bias towards people who are not who are short. You know, you never go to someone and say, you know what, I am 5 feet and 10 inches short. Basically, what you're going to say is, you know what, I'm 5 feet, 10 inches tall. So we see even in our language, you know, we're biased in a sense. Being short has, in some cases, has negative connotations. And in Zacchaeus' case, he was an obstacle that got in his way. Because he could not see over the crowd. He wanted to see Jesus. But not only was he a chief tax collector, rich, short, but if you look at the verse 7, I want you to notice what it says. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. He was a sinner. Tax collectors, as I said, were hated. Not just because they were sellouts, but also because they made themselves rich by gouging their fellow men. Now you've got to keep in mind, nowadays, when you go to pay your taxes by IRS, by the way, April 1 is coming up, guys, keep that in mind, they've got to pay taxes. It's a very simple, well, it can be a bit of a complex process, but the way we work is with percentages. You pay 7.8% tithe. 10% tithe. For instance, you pay 7.8% federal tax. You pay 11% state tax. So we work with percentages. But you've got to keep in mind, well, in those days, they did not have percentages. The way the system worked was, you came in, and the guy looked at you and said, you know what? You've got 2 donkeys, I'm going to take 1. That's the way it worked. And so here is Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, who probably from time to time asked for more than what people should have paid. Gouging, indulging himself, giving portion of that to the Romans, and the rest putting it into his own pocket. Now, it's interesting that Zacchaeus in verse 4 wants to see Jesus. We don't know why he wanted to see Jesus. But all we can do is speculate. Probably he had no peace of mind. Probably his conscience was bothering him from all the thievery that he had been involved in. And all the people that he had stolen from. Probably, we don't know, he had spent many, many nights on his bed awake, his conscience bothering him. We don't know. All we know is that he wanted to see Jesus. But we don't even know if he had heard the story of blind Bartimaeus. How Jesus, just a couple of hours before, he got into Jericho. He was outside of Jericho and had seen blind Bartimaeus. And blind Bartimaeus had just run to him and said to him, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And Jesus had asked him, blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus had told him, you know, I want to see. And Jesus had just healed him outside Jericho. Amen. And probably here was Zacchaeus. He had heard that story, that powerful story of that blind man being able to see and was curious to know who Jesus was. We don't know. All we know is that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. There was a big obstacle in his way, however. Zacchaeus, as I mentioned a little earlier on, was short. He had a physical reason that kept him from being able to see Jesus. The biggest challenge he faced was seeing over other people. And it is a challenge that many of us can face today. A couple of years ago, in 2010, my wife and I had gone down to Atlanta, Georgia for the General Conference session. And it was July 4, and we were heading back home, and we stopped in Tennessee, in Nashville, Tennessee, actually. And Jill, one of Jill's traditions is she likes to go and see fireworks, the 4th of July fireworks. And believe it or not, Nashville, Tennessee is known to be one of the good places in order to go see fireworks. If you guys want to go see good fireworks, I recommend Nashville, Tennessee. So we stopped in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were asking people where the fireworks was going to be. And they told us, it's over the bridge, just go over the bridge. Anyway, we had Stephanie back then, and so we go to the bridge. And soon enough, it was getting crowded. I mean, it was getting really, really crowded. And soon we were beginning to squeeze up, and we had Stephanie with us, and other people were drinking, and we began to talk to tell ourselves, you know what, this is probably not the best place to be. And so we removed ourselves out of there and walked a bit further away, and believe it or not, we had a beautiful view where families were sitting on a lawn, and we just watched the beautiful fireworks. But we had to get out of there because the crowd was pressing in, and we did not feel comfortable. And here is Zacchaeus as well. The crowd was pressing in, and he had a bit of a challenge there. He couldn't see over the crowd. And so he thinks to himself, you know what? I've got to remove myself out of here. Sometimes in our Christian walk, it is the same thing. The crowd can get in the way of our seeing and experiencing the most important aspect of Christianity, Christ Himself. Sometimes, and I've got to share this with you, we are so focused on other people that we can't see Jesus. We do this when we are judgmental. All we can think about is how other people have wronged us or how big of a sinner someone else is. Those things keep us from seeing Jesus. I've heard many reasons people stop coming to church. I mean, there are so many reasons why people stop coming to church. And usually, from my experience, a lot of people stop coming to church because of relationships.
Right.
I've hardly, believe it or not, in the 16, 17, or 18 years of ministry that I've been in, it's been very few times I've heard people tell me, I don't want to come to church because I have a problem with Seventh-day Adventist theology. Many times people stop coming to church is because of relationships. They're hurt by someone. And I'm sure the devil capitalizes off our mistakes, magnifying them, keeping others from seeing Jesus. And I'm sure you've heard it too. And here's some of the things that I've heard over the years. He is supposed to be a church leader, and look how he treated me. Have you guys heard that argument before? There are just too many hypocrites. The question that I usually ask is, do you go to work? Apparently there are no hypocrites at your job, where you work. The pastor is not all that he's cracked up to be. If she is what Christians are supposed to be all about, I don't want any of it. Christians are no better than I am. I saw the deacon. Or I saw the pastor. I've heard it all. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. There are so many distractions. When we focus on the crowd, let me tell you this. We're going to lose our focus on Jesus. Well, one of the things sometimes I've heard is, I've stopped coming to church. Why have you stopped coming to church? Well, then X, Y, and Z. My question will always be, why are you at church? To worship God or worship others?
Amen.
When your focus is Christ, everything changes. Another thing, or maybe like Zacchaeus, we were born with some reality that keeps our attention focused on ourselves. Maybe we have pity parties. And let me tell you this, I've had a couple of pity parties from time to time. I have pity parties. Maybe we've been down, put out, made fun of, turned away, and the pain of it keeps us from seeing Jesus. Maybe we are focused on our problems, ourselves, that we can't see anything else. We all have our own shortcomings, just like Zacchaeus had his literal problem of being short that might have prevented him from seeing Jesus. We too might think that we are not good enough to be with Jesus. People may stand in our way from seeing Jesus. People can do that. But the greatest obstacle you and I face in coming to Jesus is not our neighbor. It is our sin.
Amen.
And I want to share, I don't want to be negative, but I've got to share this with you. And I've got to be careful with this. When you remove yourself away from believers, when you remove yourself from the church, you are not punishing the church. Even though it hurts us. It hurts us. You're punishing yourself. And let me tell you this. When you stand before the Lord one day, and the Lord asks you, why haven't you come into a limited relationship with me? If you tell him, what about because of Pastor Steve? What is the response of Christ going to be? But I'm here. I've been here for you all the time. I am here. The only person who can remove themselves from a living relationship with Christ, from a relationship with the church, is yourself and yourself alone.
Amen.
It all boils down to you. Do you want it or you don't want it? We are the only ones who make the decision whether seeing Jesus is worth it or not. No power on this earth can make that decision for you. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nor height, nor depth. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. It is you who makes that choice. Let me tell you this, and I would like to see this happen. If one day, God forbid, and I pray it will never happen, you were to remove yourself from Christ, from your relationship with God, from the church, stand up and own it.
Right.
Don't blame others. Don't find excuses. This morning, I want to ask you, what is it that keeps you from seeing Jesus? Zacchaeus wouldn't let anything keep him from seeing Jesus. Not his pride, and definitely not his height. And definitely not the crowd.
Man.
Verse 4 tells us, what does he do? He runs to a sycamore tree. He finds a tree. Because nothing was going to stop him from seeing Jesus. He climbs up into the tree. By the way, in those days, it was a bit of a shame. You've got to keep in mind, it's a shame in our culture. For an adult man to climb the tree. Now let me ask you this question. If you saw an adult guy just randomly sitting in a tree, what would you think? Awkward. Sorry for that. It's awkward. And here is Zacchaeus running. He lets go of everything. He lets go of his pride. He lets go of everything. And he climbs up into the sycamore tree. If you want to see Jesus, if you want to stop focusing on your own problems and the problems of others, you will have to do what Zacchaeus did. You've got to do what he did. He gives up the concern about what others thought of him. I mean, he's like, you know what? I don't care what they think of me. I don't care. Second, he stopped looking at them. Third, don't let anything, not even personal problems, come between you and Jesus. I mean, he had a serious personal problem. He wasn't tall enough. So fourth, start focusing on Jesus and Jesus alone. I mean, that's all he did. He's like, you know what? There's this guy. His name is Jesus. I'm going to meet him no matter what. No options left. I'm going for it. There sits Zacchaeus on the tree, and all the people passing by and thinking, what in the world is that man doing up there? Literally going out on a limb for Jesus. And Jesus doesn't leave Zacchaeus hanging out on a limb. Read with me verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus found Zacchaeus, knew him by name, told him to hurry and come down, and then invited him over. It's interesting. It was the first encounter that Jesus had with Zacchaeus. I mean, there is no other mention of Zacchaeus before this. And Jesus gets to that tree, looks at him, and says, Zacchaeus, you come down. And just like Jesus knew Zacchaeus, he knows you too well.
Amen.
He knows the sin you've tried to hide. He knows the people you've tried to dodge. He knows your name. He knows your mistakes. He knows, and he still wants to come over. He wants to dwell in your heart. Jesus probably even knew Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that Zacchaeus was messed up. But he still knew him by name, and he still called him by his name. And Zacchaeus' response is so beautiful. He did everything that Jesus asked of him, and he did it with joy. Amen. He made haste. That's what the scripture says, if you just read it a little while ago. He came down out of the tree and received Jesus into his house with joy. And so Zacchaeus receives Jesus into his life. It is a very personal thing, receiving Jesus. We call it a personal relationship. But this is not where the story ends. Our story doesn't end either when we receive Jesus into our lives. Sometimes we think, you know what? I received Jesus. You know, Zacchaeus received Jesus. Jesus tells him, Zacchaeus, come down. And what does he do? He makes haste. He goes. Now he has a relationship with Jesus. And many times we think that that is where our walk with the Lord is. I have a relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah, I am good to go. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. A young woman and a young man got married one day. You know, they went to the altar and said, I do. And soon enough, they signed the legal documents after the wedding. But the young woman remained in her apartment. Instead of moving in with her husband, she stayed in her own apartment. She paid her own bills. She cooked for herself. She, she did not wear a wedding ring. And she went out on dates with other men. She did. But you know what? She was married. She was married. And sometimes that is what our relationship with God looks like. We are in a relationship with God, but we're ready to flirt with the world. We're in a relationship with Jesus, but you know what? I don't want to pay my bills. I don't want to spend time with God. It sounds crazy. People, but that's what we do. That is what we do. People start hearing the story and complaining immediately when Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. The house of a sinner. A known crook. Someone who was betraying the Jewish nation. The same crowd that was flocking to see Jesus was now murmuring against Jesus visiting Zacchaeus. They didn't know what was going on in Zacchaeus' heart. They didn't see anything worthy of Jesus' attention and time. All they knew was Jesus was associating himself with someone who had a bad reputation. And Jesus didn't really care about what others thought. He just went about doing what he had came to do, to seek and to to save that who was lost.
Amen.
You know what the meeting of Jesus with Zacchaeus would have looked like today? I want you to think about our GC President, Ted Wilson. Our GC President, Ted Wilson, or if you don't want to look at Billy Graham today, you know, very respected evangelist in the United States. One day, Ted Wilson is visiting California, or Billy Graham is visiting California, and he's walking through the streets and there's a crowd with him. You know, at the end of the day, he's the GC President. He's in, I got an entourage with him. And he's walking through Hollywood, and up on a tree, he sees Kim Kardashian. That's what it looks like. And Ted Wilson looks at Kim Kardashian and says, I want to come, and I want to visit with you. And of course, she welcomes him into her house. That's what it might look like today. To put it in, if I want to contextualize it. It's a bit awkward, isn't it? But that's what it looks like. Sometimes, people that follow Christ can be wrong. Sometimes they can be malicious and jealous and unchristlike in their attitudes and behaviors. Many times, when it comes to matters of salvation, the majority can be mistaken. And it won't be easy to take a stand for Jesus with Jesus. Joining the family of God does not necessarily mean that you will never be treated unfairly or hear unkind words. Most of us are growing and are immature. And here in the story is where the gospel shows that a true relationship with God means more than just a name, more than just claiming to be a follower. It means a change of heart. James put it this way, faith without works is dead. And I will show you by faith, by my deeds. The fruit of our relationship is the fruit of the Spirit, the outpouring of His life into ours. Basically, what I'm trying to say is this. Jesus wanted to meet Zacchaeus, a great sinner. He did. He was criticized for that. I mean, they made fun of him. I mean, they began to talk among each other. What is this guy doing? It's awkward what's going on. But at the end of the day, when Zacchaeus came into a relationship with Jesus, his life was changed. And here's what happens. Read with me verse 8 of chapter 19. Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. The choice to follow Jesus for Zacchaeus was more than just the name. It meant total devotion. It meant giving to the poor, caring for the needs of the poor, the widow. The orphan is admonished nearly 200,000 times in the Bible. And he promised to, this is what he does. He promised to take care of the needs of the poor, do what he could do, restoring fourfold anything he had taken from someone unjustly. I want you to notice what's happening here. Zacchaeus comes to Jesus Christ. He gives his life to Jesus. He comes into a relationship with Jesus, but his life is totally, totally transformed. Many times, and this is something I've told my boards, I told the Brownsburg board when I was meeting with them, one of the regrets, probably, not a regret, probably some of one of the things that I should have been careful with, when as a pastor, I'm so focused so much over and over and over about having a relationship with God. And I strongly believe that we all need a relationship with God. And probably you are tired of me hearing this over and over and over again. But one of the things that I probably missed out on saying is that we need to have a transforming relationship with God.
Amen.
When we come to God, it's got to make a change in our lives. We just can't be the same. We can't continue the same that we've always been. Something's got to change. In the story here of Zacchaeus says, you know what? I'm going to start taking care of the poor. I'm going to restore actually fourfold of what I've stolen back to the poor. That relationship he had with him was a transforming relationship. And probably over the years I've emphasized so much on the relationship part that probably I've missed out on the transforming aspect of it. And today I want to challenge you with this. I want to challenge you that yes, we have a transforming relationship. We have a relationship with God. But my question is, I want you to look at yourselves today. I want you to look at yourselves today and look at yourself when you were probably 6 years ago when I came. Or 7 years ago when I came to Chapel West. And I want to see where you are in your walk with the Lord. Has there been a transforming relationship that you've had with Jesus Christ? The things that you did, are you still doing them? The things that you thought about, are you still thinking about them? The way you acted, has that changed? Has that relationship over the years you've had with Jesus Christ had any power to transform your thought, your mind, your heart, your acts, your words, your actions, your interactions with others? Has it had any impact? The story in Luke concludes with Jesus' words. Verse 9. Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to leave you with this today. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not the crowd. Accept Jesus' invitation to come into your life. And when he does, let him transform you. Let him transform you. If you look at the story of Jesus, this is exactly, of Zacchaeus, this is exactly what happened. He was rejected. He was physically short. But he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ and said, you know what? I am going to go. I'm going to do everything to see Jesus, and I'm not going to let the crowd see me, stop me from seeing him. And when Jesus came and he looked up at him and he knew him, and Jesus knew what he was doing, even though he was being criticized, what he does is he invites him, and Zacchaeus accepts that invitation. And when he sits with Jesus, that totally, totally transforms his life. Today I want to challenge you. I'm going to invite you to stand up and pray with me. But that invitation is as well a call. I want to challenge you. I want you to go back home this week. And I want you to look at your life. Now, from a certain period, I don't care what it was, 2 years ago, 1 year, 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I want you to look at your life. Has Jesus been able to transform your life? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? And has that relationship transformed your life? Think about it. Pray about it. Because coming to Jesus, you can't be the same. He's got to transform your life. Change has got to come in. So I want to challenge you with this. I'm going to invite you now to stand up and to pray with me. Heavenly Father, the story of Zacchaeus is such a powerful story. That no matter how messed up he was, no matter how messed up we are, that you still come. You still give us that invitation. The only thing that will hinder us from coming to you is ourselves. And today, Lord, we are here because we claim to have a relationship with you. But Heavenly Father, we want to ask that question, has that relationship been a transforming relationship? I want to ask that you empower every person who's standing here this morning with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they might be led by the Holy Spirit to look at their lives, think about their lives, and see if there has been any transformation in their lives. Because we know, Lord, if we come to you and we surrender our lives to you, That relationship that we have cannot keep us the same. There's got to be a whole change in our lives, a change in our hearts, minds, thoughts, words, deeds, interactions. Heavenly Father, I want to ask that you send your Holy Spirit this morning, this afternoon, and be with our people. And may they leave here with the thought of going and contemplating on your word and on that relationship. In Jesus' name I pray.